This is Day to Day. I'm Alex Cohen.
I'm Madeline Brand. It's tough these days for everyone and doctors, too. They barely have time to see patients. What with all the paperwork from the HMOs, their days are long, and the money is just not what it used to be. We've heard this kind of grumbling for a while, but there's new evidence that suggests that the complaints are more serious than people had thought. Here to talk about it is Dr. Sidney Spiesel. He's a pediatrician and a Yale Medical School professor, and he never complains. Right, Sid?
Well, the truth is that although I have some of the same complaints as were reported in this thing, I don't know. I like what I do.
I know. That seems pretty obvious. Well, tell us about these doctors who don't really like what's going on in the profession. They were surveyed. What did they say?
The survey involved more than 250,000 doctors. These were essentially all the primary care docs in the United States, internists, family practitioners, pediatricians, OBGYNs, and a few other docs too. You know, it's kind of interesting because a lot of docs didn't answer. And I was sort of conscience-stricken as I read this report because I surely would have gotten that, you know, the survey, which I have no memory of having gotten. I probably threw it away. I don't know if I replied or not. Only about 4%, and this is a weakness of the study, only about 4% of doctors replied. And those are probably the ones who had the strongest opinions.
Well, what are their major complaints?
Well, the major complaints are, I mean, why do people go into medicine? You know, it's interesting to ask what doctors like about the practice of medicine. And if you ask them, and they did in this study, the first thing that doctors name is patient relationships, the pleasure that they get from relationships with their patients. And the second thing is intellectual stimulation. And, you know, there's really a strong sense that the new forces, the new improved medical care, cuts down on both of those things. Time pressures eat away at the experience of satisfying patient relationships. People are pressured to get patients in and out of the room as quickly as possible, and that doesn't leave time for the kind of talking and stimulation and back and forth that's really needed, both for satisfaction and for good care from my standpoint. And again, all of the time demands really prevent people from getting as much intellectual stimulation as they like. They don't have time, as they did in the past, to go to the books and look up things about a patient and track it. You know, instead, what they wind up having to do is just refer patients to a specialist, which is often not in the patient's best interest, and it certainly detracts from what they like about medical care, about giving medical care.
And so what are the consequences of this?
Well, the consequences are huge, huge degree of dissatisfaction. I mean, more than I had ever imagined, based on this sample at least. Only half said, you know, if they asked, well, are you going to do the same thing? What are you going to do over the next 3 years? Only half said they plan to continue the practice in a largely unchanged way. About 30% said that in the next 3 years they plan to stop seeing patients at all. They're going to either retire or they're going to move into some non-clinical realm of medicine, or they're going to change their profession completely.
So that means what for me as a patient?
Well, it's scary for all of us as patients. Right now, there's a kind of shortage, or there's a sense of a strong shortage of primary care docs. If you look at people, more and more doctors want to do specialized training and don't want to do primary care. And if so many people are leaving primary care, who's going to be left to take care of the ordinary everyday needs of patients? And I think it's very worrisome. I think we're really in danger of losing a whole tradition of primary care. There are going to be increasing use of extenders, you know, nurse practitioners and physician's assistants. And in fact, they do a wonderful job, but it's a somewhat different job. And the ideal system, I think, is to have physicians and physician extenders working side by side. And that probably is going to happen less and less.
Dr. Sidney Spiesel is a professor at Yale Medical School. He's also a pediatrician. And you can read his medical examiner column at slate.com. Sid, thank you.
Thank you.
As Dr. Sid said, he's relatively content at his job. So what about those doctors who aren't? Well, we called some of them up, starting with pediatrician Walker Ray. He's the vice president of the group that did the survey. Dr. Ray used to run a solo practice in Atlanta.
It was a wonderful life until managed care took hold so solidly that it put profits before patients.
The paperwork, the arguing with HMOs, it all wore him out.
I had the same nurse office manager for 38 years, and she finally came to me and she said, "I can't do this anymore." And I looked at her and I said, "I can't either." So we both walked out together.
Dr. Margaret Lewin is still working. She is a primary care physician in Manhattan, but she stopped accepting health insurance after a particularly bad run-in with a patient.
And she said, I pulled out my back today. I want to see an orthopedist. And I said, gee, you know, an orthopedist may not be the proper person for you to see. Why don't you come on over and let me take a look? And her response was not, gee, doc, you know, it's great that I can come right over and the door is open and ready for me. Her response was, you'd do anything for a $5 copay, wouldn't you?
Dr. Lewin says it most definitely was not about the copay. It's about the patient. Sometimes Dr. Lewin sounds more like a mom than a doctor. She tells people to carry lists of the medications they're taking just in case of emergency. She nags them to buckle up.
And one of my patients got out of the taxi. He ran to the office. He didn't even take off his coat, picked up the phone, called me, had me interrupted, and said, Dr. Lewin, I got into a taxi today, and as I was putting on my seatbelt, the guy next to me said, what are you, Dr. Lewin's patient? And I thought that was one of the great achievements of my career.
And even though she doesn't have to deal with the big insurance companies anymore, she still has plenty of bureaucracy to contend with.
In fact, I would say that I spend two-thirds of my time in non-face-to-face patient care.
And as we heard earlier, frustrations like these are leading many doctors to become specialists. That, says Dr. Alan Posinki of Washington, D.C., leads to hardships for patients.
As physicians in the emergency room at a major hospital like George Washington University Hospital see a patient for an acute problem and say, okay, you know, do this and do this, and then follow up with your primary care doctor next week, the patient says, well, gee, I don't have a primary care doctor. Can you recommend one? The answer is no. That there's almost nobody in the community who's taking new patients.
The primary care doctor shortage looks bleak, especially going forward. Only about 5% of medical students plan to go into primary care. They're put off by poor reimbursements, loads of paperwork, and the low morale of their older colleagues. Colleagues like medical elder Dr. Ray, who isn't inclined to encourage young doctors into the profession.
I can't feel comfortable in doing that because of the circumstances now.
And even Dr. Lewin, who's persevered all these years in New York, insurance-free, has an opt-out plan.
I really love the Himalayas, and I love Nepal. And I've done a number of missions to Nepal, and I would like to return there.
If you have thoughts on the medical system or about what to do for patients, send them to us. You'll find us at npr.org.